My solarium here on the fourth floor has been a little balmy this week, and I have to be careful because I've got to wear layers because some days it's cold, some days it's hot, whatever else it is. So it does feel somewhat tropical in my non-rainforest here high atop One City Center. But we're not here to talk about the weather. We can do that all the time. We only get about 20 minutes or so each week to talk about county government. We know how busy everything is at the State House. We also know how busy things here are locally. So I will let you take it away this afternoon. And, well, I sent you a story a little bit ago about the airport, and we had all the fun out there last, I think that was last August or so. Or maybe it was in September when they had the whole festival out there. But we're not done with everything just yet, and then some supply chain issues not helping out there either.
Right, and you know, county government is no different from any other construction projects. You can think you're going to be able to get the money to move forward with something, and then there's something that you cannot get delivered on time to get something done as you would like. But it will eventually get done. And, of course, there's always more to be done at the airport. And so that's the reason why it's so important to continue to watch there and to make sure that we are getting the money that is needed for that airport to operate. One of the things that they've asked for is to go ahead and start advertising for that position that will need to be filled. It's I can't remember the name of the position, but it's like the second in command of the airport. And because they've already been given notice that this person that holds the position now will be moving on to another slot, another place to live. And so it's important that they go ahead and get that advertised to get the person interviewed and on board, because it takes a while to find something that is that specific, and then also to be able to hopefully get them trained by the person who holds the position now. And so that's something that we're going to be moving forward with. The other thing, of course, it's all about the jail lately, and what we did receive today was information on our personnel committee that where the jail commander, as well as the sheriff, is going to be asking for a new position to help with the, looks like, sort of the routine maintenance and cleaning and so forth of the jail. Now, you know, we've talked about that in the past. And while the commissioners are over buildings and so forth, they are not the ones who determine how the jail is to be cleaned. Sure. Unless, of course, it'd have to be a contract and you'd have to work with the commissioners on that. But it appears from what has been sent, I don't have all the information yet. The council office just sent us the agenda and didn't send us the information that goes with the agenda. But it appears that they want someone that will be on board that will work on the continual cleaning and maintenance of the facility. Now, from what I understand, for many years, it's been the trustees there. You know, we have trustees in that are in the jail that have a little more leeway than other people who are incarcerated. They sometimes work in the kitchen or in other duties. But it always takes that correctional facility person that's actually there working for the correction facility to be with these folks. They're not just there on their own.
They're not unsupervised, right. And they're not employees. Right. They're still inmates, so we're clear on that, right?
Absolutely. So that is the reason why, even if we would get someone to do that, get a new position, it would still take one of the correctional facility employees who would really be there with them, even if it's just somebody from the outside. I mean, you can't just let people wander around inside the jail.
Sure, that makes sense. And you can't just throw the people that are already working there a mop and a bucket and say, hey, do this, it's part of your job. Doesn't work that way.
Right. Well, and even if some of them would be willing to do that, it's not on the job description. So if we determine that we thought that the jailer should be doing the cleaning, et cetera, well, then we better be changing some job descriptions because...
Amen.
That's not what they're getting paid to do.
Right.
And they've got their hands full just, more and more as the years go by, the people that are there in the jail, they are not there for small misdemeanors. They are there for much more serious things. So it's a serious business being a jailer, either here or anywhere.
Absolutely.
So,
And if the population doesn't want to help you, they don't want to help you, and then you got to move on and do something else, or maybe we look like the problem we have now. So that'll be interesting to see how that's remedied. Are there other jails you can look at, Marty? I don't know who even looks at this, the commissioners, jail commander, and say, well, what works for you, or how does this work, or what's the next step in this project?
Well, I did send a little note to the sheriff. To say, do you have such a job description from perhaps another facility that we could sort of see? And he evidently had sent something to the council office, which I don't have as yet to review it. But I think a lot of times you don't want to try to reinvent the wheel. If many other county jails are being operated in a different fashion, maybe there's something we can learn, or maybe they're trying to learn from us, but we know we've got a problem there that we're trying to work out.
Well, and as we talked about last Wednesday, Marty, just putting in building a new facility, that's going to be years down the road, and that's just not going to make everybody's keep it clean or whatever else. It's got to be more of a systemic change. Would that be a fair way to analyze it?
Well, even if you had a brand new one, you would still have to do something to continue
Amen.
To maintain it and take care of it. I mean, it's not, you can move into a brand new house and it wouldn't take too long for it to get pretty dirty if nobody ever cleaned it. Or if the people that you'd hope would be able to clean it's no longer able to do it for whatever reason.
Right.
But one of the things that the commissioner signed off on today was... a replacement of the roof, sort of like a membrane thing that's on that flat roof of that building because of all the leakage that's there, and they're taking off the solar panels so that they can repair all that and put that new, and I'm calling it a membrane, I don't know what they would call it, but just something that they use on a flat roof. And they're considering perhaps not even putting those solar panels back on this particular roof, because it's flat, and it would do better to have these. It would be better for the roof as well as for the solar panels to be operational, give you the most use of the solar panel is to put it elsewhere where it could be at an angle instead of flat. So that's something.
Yeah, they're not going to throw them away. They're just going to repurpose them.
Right. But the other thing that was discussed this morning at the commissioner's meeting, which everybody seemed to have great interest in, was having to do with the makeup of the committee. They're supposed to be, giving advice to the county commissioners having to do with community justice. And so evidently, the presiding judge had said that, had indicated that they would not like to have the probation officer as a part of this committee because probation officers work for the courts. And so if the courts have their representation there from the judges, then that's what it appears that's what they're asking for. So that was changed this morning, too, so that it would that makeup is changed like that. Now, there was a comment from one of the people that was commenting on this, like a member of the public. I mean, this person was not at all happy and felt like if the county didn't put somebody from the city on there, it would leave the city council then would be forced to, like, I don't know, do something with the county council in order to have support for the jail. I mean, this is just, I don't know why these people just want to fuss and not just like, here's our problems, let's work it out. I don't know. I guess I just don't understand why people want to fuss instead of getting the job done. And remembering, this committee is an advisory committee. It was established by the county commissioners. They could just get rid of it if they wanted to. So, and it's only an advisory committee, and they don't have to take the advice.
Why is everybody upset?
Hey, everybody just thinks they're just so, you know, oh, I'm on that committee, so now that makes me, I don't know, real important or something. I don't know. It's just craziness. We need to get along better than this, and maybe just break it down in different groups, and each group do their portion of it, and then come together with their suggestions. But, oh, well. So
what's next?
Well,
when's our meeting to have our next meeting to get our next meeting to go to get to all these opinions and everything else that goes with this? Then, as you accurately pointed out, none of this carries any weight. So we just say we've done it to do it, and then who makes the decision when and where do we go from there?
Well, I mean,
I shouldn't say it that way, but that's how it that's how it sounds to somebody who doesn't understand how the system works. And when you explain it to us, we all sit here and say, no, it's my turn to bang my head against the wall. You've been doing it long enough. Now it's my turn to do it. So what are we trying to accomplish in your opinion? I can't interview everybody on this committee. There's 600 people, but from you've been in government long enough, what is the end game? What are we trying to get to?
Well, that you see, that's exactly the point. It started out being one thing, but sort of once it had started, then that was when, we got the reports back about the jail, so then it all got switched over to, okay, now we're talking about the jail. And so the people on this commission was talking about community justice response is now thinking that they have full reign to tell everybody where the jail should be. And, you know, that it's important to at least listen.
Amen. I agree with that 100%.
And but we need to do it in a way that is productive and not argumentative, as it would seem to me. But maybe I'm the one being argumentative listening to it because I'm thinking, enough, folks, enough. I mean, we're getting no place real quick this way. But it did appear to me that the county commissioners were saying, look, if the city wants us to use some of the area where the Hopewell Project is, we're open to hearing that. People have mentioned that. That's where the hospital was, in that area there. I don't think that's going to happen, but who knows?
No. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud, or was I thinking, no, there's no way it's going to happen there?
No, yeah. So you understand how all this is coming together. Now, in the meantime, of course, we've got this bill working through the House and the Senate having to do with the food and beverage tax and what we can do with that. I think that was House Bill. No. Senate Bill 37.
Yes, Senate Bill 37, yes.
And so that is something to be considered as well. However, I'm now getting some idea from some folks that are saying, well, maybe it's not so bad because we still have 22 years to get something put together. And at that point in time, if we still need more money after the 20-some years, you can always go back. You know how the laws change all the time. You can go back and say you need to extend it. So I do not think this is the worst thing in the world, but we don't know. We don't know how it's going to turn out.
Well, that's exactly right. And in 22 years from now, we might have flying convention centers. Heck, who knows? All the things that go on with this, but where is the bill right now? I think you told me it was, well, I'll let you tell me because I can't remember. Where is it and what is the next step do we need to pay attention to if this is going to gain traction and move forward?
Well, okay, it's already passed in the Senate, so it will be going over the House when the House starts going over the bills that's been passed at the Senate, and then we'll see where that's being assigned to. And I'm sure there's already people working behind the scenes going, well, how about this amendment or that amendment or whatever? So we'll see how all of it works out. But right now, that's just sort of sitting there waiting for the next step. And I watch all the time, so I don't think
that's why I talk to you, right?
But I would just want people to know, if for some reason this should pass the way it's written, it does not mean that this thing is just dead in the water. It just doesn't mean that. It means you've got 22 years to get a bond going, because you can go ahead and put the bond in place even after that deadline date, to having to do with how long the tax could be in place. But okay, so it,
well, let me ask this question, because this is where I'm confused. You brought up a date in May something about having things in place. What do we have to have in place for that compared to what you just described there?
Okay, let's say if by some miracle people would get together and say, yes, we agree to bond X dollars and use this money to pay back the bond and get that done before that May 1st or 7th date, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Then that date, that would be the latter date. If that went out more than the 22 years, then your tax could continue to go on for that latter date of how long that bond would go on. If they sign a lease and everybody would agree to the lease using the food and beverage money for the lease, then it would depend on how long that lease went out as to how far out the food and beverage tax money could be collected. If they do neither of those by that May date, then they still have 22 years to do something.
Okay.
But you only could, the bond could not extend beyond the 22 years.
I see. Yes, I do now. Now I understand.
Okay, but that doesn't.
So you can't hold the people hostage forever with that. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Now, I did receive the report on the latest food and beverage distribution, which is really, really astounding. For last year, was over $4 million. Now, the year before, for this flat, for 2022, it's $4.2 million, and for 21, it was $3.6 million. And, of course, 20 was way down at $2.7 million. But then in 2019, it was $3.4 million. So during a good year, I think we'd all say 2019 was doing okay.
Oh, yeah, everything was normal, yeah.
Yeah. So then we've already taken it up to 4.2. So,
nice.
Right. I don't know how you could say that's not a good thing, unless you don't really want to pay the food and beverage tax. But if we're going to pay it, let's at least do what we said we were going to do, or come together as a community and determine what we're going to do with this money. And so far, I haven't heard any big hue and cry to say, let's make a list of other things that we can do. Because,
well, let's just get the project going, shall we?
I'm going to say, right now, we are tied to what we originally agreed to, because that's the way it was voted on. And so if they're going to move forward with this, they need to keep it within those guidelines and move forward with it. And let's see what we get for our money. There's going to be a lot of changes. You know, a lot has changed as far as what it could cost for interest rates and for bonding,
sure,
and construction, et cetera. And that then brings me to the next topic of what's going on with, when it comes to our taxes, that we're going to be getting a tax bill. And I think I sent you some information on that from Dave Bodaroff, Association of Indiana Counties. And to remind people that, you know, we're always working from what happened in the past to determine what our taxes are going to be for this coming year. So we know in 2021 what happened to the property values. market value, because people had, first of all, they were spending more time at home in 2021 than they had before. They were working from home. Decided many people that they could, they really needed more space, and the interest rates were so low, and so it was very tempting for a lot of folks to go out and contract to build a bigger home or to add on to their present home. And so that ended up making those values jump through the roof because the interest rates were so low and people were still paying high rent payments. And so they could see that they could buy a home and it would not be as much per month as it was costing them for rent because
That's right.
interest rates were so low.
Not anymore.
And so you couldn't buy a $200,000 house without fighting off half the neighborhood because they all wanted it. And so that raised the price then of that $200,000 house. One would say maybe up to $230,000 even in just short order because of the market demand for that price range home. And so you use all of those values from 2021, and so that is the value as January of 2022 that they are using to determine what your property tax is going to be going against, what the value was of that property January of 2022. So that means if you stayed in your house and you didn't do one thing to any kind of improvement, anything at all, it still means the value of your home went up because your neighborhood did.
Gotcha.
And that's what you're required to do. And if you're taxing, you know, those people who are voting on taxes are not drastically reducing those tax rates to make up the difference in how high that assessed value went, that means your taxes are going up a great deal. A great deal.
Right. You got to be ready for it. That's part of how it works.
Right.
You know how everything works, Marty. It's a paper loss until you sell it, right?
Right. And the other thing is, at the state level, there's people like jostling around trying to figure out what they can do to try to make the pain not quite so bad for the taxpayers. I just really don't know exactly what it is they can do, but I think there's people who are making some adjustments in their thought patterns as to what might be able to happen. We'll find out.
Yeah, let us know if there's going to be any help on the way. But we know if assessed value goes up and everything else, that's just the price of doing poker or price of poker going up. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right. Now, the other thing I want people to watch very carefully for is Senate Bill 78, because that is a situation where it says, so if this thing passes, it's going to hurt Monroe County government because it says that the townships who are providing services for fire protection, and there also there's an amendment that's saying that also the fire protection territories or districts couldn't get money from this, and they're supposed to go to the county that put it in place. Oh, well, we all know the city controls that. It's whether or not they get a portion of the income tax, and it's not like they may get it. It's like they're required to get it, and it all comes out of the county portion. Not a penny of it is coming out of the city portion. Is this tricky or not?
It is, but at some point, we have to pay attention to it, because if we want to stick our head underneath the sand and just hope it goes away, it's probably not going to happen.
It is not going to happen, and here's the reason why it's different. The city provides fire protection for the city. They have a tax mechanism to provide fire protection for the city, as well as law enforcement. The county does not have that. We don't have a county tax for fire protection. The townships do, and the fire protection district does. Remember, the fire protection district has special separate tax. But if they get a certain portion of the dollars that's coming to the county for us to do what we're supposed to be doing with public safety tax money, which is covering those jail expenses and our law enforcement expenses. If they come and get part of that, you know, and I love our townships. Why wouldn't I want to support them and the fire district? But they have a different mechanism to get their dollars. And if they get our public safety dollars, then how are we supposed to support our jail and the law enforcement?
Oh, my. Well, we better make sure we check underneath all those shelves when we move them around the table. And when the music stops, Marty, we hope everybody has a seat. Oh, well.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm looking right now at something that's called a stress test, and it's talking about for the assessment and taxation system, but I think they need a stress test for those of us trying to follow along with it.
12 ounces in my stress test. I'll tell you how bubbly it is at the end of the day, but we appreciate you doing the yeoman's work, because 99.9% out of 100 people would not be digging into this and seeing what's going on. It's much easier to complain than it is to understand, but you give us a chance each week to understand on Wednesdays. Thank you, thank you. And I know we'll do it again next week, as February will be 7 days in.
Okay, thank you. Have a good evening.